Soham priyasya surada para devataya.
Soham priyasya surada para devataya.
Lila kathastava narsingha virincha gita.
Lila kathastava narsingha virincha gita.
Anjasta dharmya nugranan guna vipramukto.
Anjasta dharmya nugranan guna vipramukto.
Durgani te padayugalaya hansa sangaha.
Durgani te padayugalaya hansa sangaha.
O my Lord Nrisingadev, by engaging in your transcendental loving service in the association of devotees who are liberated souls, hamsas, I shall become completely uncontaminated by the association of the three modes of material nature, and be able to chant the glories of your lordship, who are so dear to me. I shall chant your glories, following exactly in the footsteps of Lord Brahma and his disciplic succession. In this way, I shall undoubtedly be able to cross the ocean of nations. Report. A devotee's life and duty are very well explained herein. As soon as a devotee can chant the holy name and glories of the Lord, he certainly comes to the liberated position. Attachment for glorifying the Lord by hearing and chanting the holy name and activities of the Lord, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, certainly brings one to the position where material contamination is absent. One should chant the bona fide songs received from the disciplic succession. In Bhagavad Gita it is said that the chanting is powerful when one follows the disciplic succession. Evam prampra pravtam imam rajarshiyo vidu. Manufacturing many ways of chanting will never be effective. However, chanting the song or the narration left by the previous acharyas, mahajanoyena gatasa panta, is extremely effective. And this process is very easy. Therefore, in this verse, Prabhupada Maharaj uses the word anja, easily. Accepting the thoughts of exalted authorities through disciplic succession is certainly much easier than a method of mental speculation by which one tries to invent some means to understand the absolute truth. The best process is to accept the instructions of the previous acharyas and follow them. Then God-realization and self-realization become extremely easy. By following this easy method, one is liberated from the contamination of the material modes of nature, and thus one can certainly cross the ocean of nations, in which there are many miserable conditions. By following in the footsteps of the great acharyas, one associates with the hamsas, or paramhamsas, those who are completely freed from material contamination. Indeed, by following the instructions of the acharyas, one is always freed from all material contamination, and thus one's life becomes successful, for one reaches the goal of life. This material world is miserable regardless of one's standard of life. Of this there's no doubt. Attempts to mitigate the miseries of material existence by material methods will never be successful. One must take to Krishna consciousness to become really happy. Otherwise, happiness is impossible. One might say that becoming advanced in spiritual life also involves tapasya, a voluntary acceptance of some inconvenience. However, such inconvenience is not as dangerous as material attempts to mitigate all miseries. Soham priyasya surida padadevataya lila katas Tavana Sringa Varinsha Gita
Anjastatam Yanugranan Gunapipramukto
Durgani Te Pada Yugalaya Hansa Sangha.
The Nrisimha Lila is an opportunity for glorification of the Lord. Keshava Jita Narahari Rupa Jaya Jagadishahani. Because of this Nrisimha Lila, so many instructions were given by Prahlad Maharaj to his friends. And later these prayers are spoken. First there are prayers spoken by the demigods glorifying the Lord. And finally, Prahlad Maharaj's own prayers to Lord Nrisimhadev. The prayers of the demigods were not immediately effective. The Lord remained angry. Brahma offered his very nicely composed prayers. Lakshmi prayed to the Lord. Demigods were all offering prayers. But the Lord was not pacified. Finally, Brahma pushed Prahlad forward. Now, the Lord's come on your account, so you try to pacify the Lord. The Lord is roaring and terrifying. So Prahlad Maharaj thought that all these great demigods have offered prayers and so nicely composed in Sanskrit poetry, and they're all pious persons, and I'm son of a demon. And what will I be able to say? But then he remembered that even an elephant, Gajendra, who was being attacked by a crocodile, offered prayers to the Lord, and the prayers were accepted. So he was just an animal, at least I'm a human being, so let me try. So, of course, Lord Nrisimhadev is very affectionate to Prahlad Maharaj. And because of his pure devotional heart, his prayers were at once effective. So here, Soham Priyasya Surada Pradevataya, the Lila Katastava Nrisimha Varinsha Gita. The Prahlad says that I'll glorify you in the association of pure devotees. Hamsa Sangha, Parayugalaya Hamsa Sangha. The Parayugalaya Hamsa Sangha means those who are fully absorbed in thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord. The pure devotees, Hamsa Sangha. Hamsa Sangha means Sadhu Sangha or Bhakta Sangha, the transcendental association of devotees. Majjita Madgita Prana Bodhyanta Puraspara. The persons who are always engaged in Krishna consciousness. Priyasya means Krishna, who is very dear. No one can be more dear to the soul than Krishna. Srila Prabhupada explains, just like our body is dear to us. You can take my computer, you can take my money, you can take money, so many things, but don't hurt me, don't do anything to my body. Of course my computer is dear to me, my wife is dear to me, in relationship to this body. But finally, the body itself, don't hurt me. So why do I care about this body? It's very dear to me. I'll spend millions of dollars if there's some problem. So the answer is given that the body is dear to me because of the presence of the soul. Or even if some other person, if my wife is dear to me or my children, because of the presence of the soul. Otherwise, when the soul leaves the body, then we junk it. We burn it, we bury it, we toss it to the vultures, we do something to dispose of it. As long as the soul is present, then even to the last minute, people are trying to keep the body alive. I've seen sometimes in the hospital that everything's tubes and wires and machines, and the person is practically totally incapable. But still, they're spending so many rupees or so many pounds or dollars every day to keep this person alive. So why all this trouble? Because the soul is there. So the body is dear because of the soul. And then the question is, then why is the soul dear? And the answer is that the soul is dear because it's part and parcel of Krishna. So ultimately, the dearmost object is Krishna. So he's Priya. Priyasya and Surida. Surid means the best friend. Suridam sabhutana. Surid, there are different words, mitra, bandhu, different words for friend. But suhrid, hrid means heart. So a suhrid is heart-to-heart friend. Nobody is more friendly than Krishna. We're dragging on in one lifetime after another, busy, intent on gratifying our senses. And still Krishna is coming with us, despite all our nonsense, and trying to give us the opportunity for Krishna consciousness. Or if we don't want Krishna consciousness, then he's supplying whatever garbage desires we may have. He's trying, he's gratifying. So, Suhrida. And Paradevataya, he's the transcendental Supreme Lord. Lilakata. Lilakata, especially in India, people expect that Lilakata means Raslilakata. If you say, we're going to go attend some Lilakata, so people at once expect that I'm going to hear Rasa. But Lila Katha means all of Krishna. Lila, Krishna Katha. Krishna's Vrindavan Lila, his Dwarka Lila, his Hastinapur Lila, Kurukshetra Lila, his Nisringa Lila, Varaha Lila, Purushavatar Lila, all of the Lilas of Krishna. Otherwise, we're in material mentality, that the Raslila, I'm very eager to hear Lila Katha, but I'm not so eager to hear about the Nisringa Lila or Varaha Lila. These are the less advanced, subordinate devotees. Then we become great fools. Then we become great fools. We think that I'm becoming a hamsa, paramhamsa, I only take the essence. But actually we're becoming foolish that I distinguish that this part of Krishna is good and this part of Krishna is not so good. These pastimes are relishable, these pastimes are not so relishable. And all according to our own mental speculation, our own imagination. By our own imagination. We calculate in terms of our material consideration, and then we start dividing up Krishna. This part is good, this part is not so good. This is all useless. One should hear about Krishna. Prabhupada said one should not reject even one drop of Srimad Bhagavatam. So Krishna means starting from Krishna's lotus feet. And the lotus feet of Krishna are compared to the first two cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. And gradually coming up, coming up, coming up. The tenth canto is like the smiling face of Krishna. So we're very eager to see the smiling face of Krishna. But we have to patiently hear about Krishna. Starting from the lotus feet, the first and second cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. And then in the course of the narration, this Nisringa Lila, Varaha Lila, Gurma Lila, so many wonderful pastimes of Krishna will come. And as we appreciate Krishna, we'll become freed. Guna-vipra-mukta. If we think that we'll directly appreciate Rasa-lila, but if we're not free from the association of the modes of material nature, we'll misunderstand. We'll misunderstand. Our business, of course, by hearing, even understand or not understand, the heart will become purified. But we should hear systematically, and we should hear from the right source. Therefore it's said, Virincha Gita. Virincha means Lord Brahma. The pastimes of the Lord are spoken by Lord Brahma and handed down in disciplined succession. Krishna, Brahma, Narada, Vyasadeva, Madhvacharya, down to Madhavendra Puri, Ishwara Puri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Goswamis, and gradually it's coming down to us. So the hearing should be performed in this disciplic succession. We should hear from the right persons, and it will be presented systematically, not helter-skelter. For everything there's a system. If you want to associate with Krishna, then we have to associate properly. Prabhupada gives the example that if you're cooking, if you keep the pot on the stove, your rice and dal will cook. But if you think, thou hang it 2 feet above the stove and light the fire and cook, will it cook? Everything is there. But it's not the process. You have to put it on the stove and cook it. So everything has to be done systematically, not simply, or even in the cooking, rice, dal, everything is there, but what's the difference between a cook who cooks very nicely and a cook who ruins the preparations? The nice cook is the cook who's trained. And especially nice cooks, best cooks, it's especially in our, in our Indian cooking or in our experience of our Andiri cooking, the best cooks, not the ones who can imagine something, but they're the ones who know this is done this way, this is done that way. I remember there in San Diego there was some cook, every Sunday he would make a different kind of sweet rice. So one Sunday it would be strawberry sweet rice. And by putting strawberries in the sweet rice for the nice Sunday feast in June, of course by the time the sweet rice was served, the whole thing had curdled because strawberries are acidic, sour, and they curdle the milk. So then we would say, no more strawberries. And then the next Sunday it would be blueberries. And the next Sunday something. So this went on for weeks and weeks and weeks. Finally we told them, don't put anything. Sugar. You can put sugar, you can put milk, and you can put rice. And then after he got that together, and he was a little good at that, all right, now you can put some pistachio, or you can put some elychee, you can put the standard things. The standard things. Right? And you go anywhere in India, and they'll put pistachio, they'll put elychee, but they won't put blueberries, they won't put raspberries, they won't put this, that. Because there's a standard. And anyone who knows how to cook, they follow the standard, that's all. And because they follow the standard, it will always be nice. If you follow the standard, it will always be nice. You don't have to invent something, stand on your hands, and walk on the ceiling. You just have to follow, and it will be nice. So the glorification of Krishna, or the performance of devotional service, is like that. It's not that we have to strain our brains and think, what can I do that's new? What can I do that's different? What can I do that's never been done before? What will I do that's revolutionary? No. Simply we have to hear from the right source, and we have to repeat what we've heard and follow what we've heard. This is the method. This is the method. A good, anything, any science, any, you first follow. Simply follow, and you become an expert. The kirtan is like that, the cooking is like that, the deity worship is like that, the philosophy is like that. We don't have to do some new inventive thing by mental speculation. That becomes also very hard. Figure it out, to come up with something. But just to do the standard authorized thing is easy. And the easy thing is also the pure thing and the effective thing. So why should we strain our brains to do something new, revolutionary, and useless with great difficulty when we can do the standard, pure, effective thing very easily? So this is our Vedic system, parampara system, simply to accept from the previous authorities. And in this way, we'll become guna-vipra-mukta. Free from the contamination of passion, ignorance, and even the mode of goodness. Not by our cleverness, not by our great power. Hiranyakashipu is very powerful, very intelligent, politician, everything. But he was ruined. Because he thought that by my power I'll do everything. And Prahlad Maharaj, as we saw in the play, he had to inform his father that I'm more powerful than you are by the grace of the person who's giving power to you. You think you're so powerful, but actually your power is coming from Krishna. And I don't think I'm very powerful. I know that Krishna is powerful, that's all. So the son became more powerful than the father, although the father had terrorized the demigods, taken over the three worlds. The child became more powerful by taking shelter of Krishna. So, soham priyasya surida pradidevataya lila katas tavanasringa virincha gita unjust tatarmi. I'll cross over this ocean of material existence. Very easily. Mahavivye prapadyante maya metantantite. The same material nature that can't be crossed by any amount of effort. We're crossing by Krishna consciousness. The scientists, the demons, they're trying to somehow conquer the laws of nature. And the laws of nature are not allowing them to conquer. Maya is simply making fools out of them. Maya pratigyana. The latest foolishness I saw the other day, it was published in Science, I think. Is that a British magazine, Science, or American? Anyway, they've discovered some new skeleton, some new creature in Africa, which they say now this is the best fit yet for the missing link. And there's speculation. They found the bones and they found some animal bones nearby. And the animal bones showed signs of having been smashed and broken with tools. So they saw that now this creature, although practically on the lowest form of human life, he's just barely above the monkeys, but he's got these tools, and he's learned how to smash bones and suck out the marrow from the bones. And this is a sign, first of all, that the first occupation of the advanced human being is butchery. The first thing men learn how to do is be a butcher. And because he learned how to butcher animals and suck out the marrow, he got the benefit of all the nutrients that are there in the flesh and the bones of the animals. And because he got these great advantages, his brain developed. When he finally learned how to break open bones and suck out the marrow, that's when he got the necessary nutrients so that his brain could really start going. And that's how advanced human civilization began. This is called Maya Pitagana. And Maya stolen their intelligence. That where is it demonstrated, you nonsense rascal, that simply by sucking bones, the brain suddenly starts growing? But they're speculating like mad. They're mad and they're speculating. And other madmen are going to take this very seriously. Dr. Such and Such has proposed this theory. Of course, I have another theory, although this theory is very good. My theory is da-da-da-da. My theory is that by eating meat and sucking on bones, they've destroyed their brains. And therefore, they can speak this rubbish. Some of them can speak it, and others can nod their heads and say, yeah, it's a good theory. It never occurs to them that there's so many human beings who never crack a bone in their lives and who are very, very intelligent. How is it possible? So this is called misuse of the human intelligence. Maya put together. Maya stolen their intelligence. And they're busy creating something. And trying to avoid God. Somehow it's all evolved from matter by this, by that. And they're busy creating their different explanations to avoid Krishna. But Krishna is not avoidable. Just like Hiranyakashipu, so intelligent, I won't be killed at day, I won't be killed at night, I won't be killed by a man, I won't be killed by an animal. Huh? I won't be killed inside, I won't be killed outside, I won't be killed this way, I won't be killed that way. Okay, got it. And he's thinking, now I can't be, I'm invincible. Huh? But Krishna is more intelligent. He found the means how to kill him very easily. Tanubringa, like an insect. You're such a big, powerful demon, you're so intelligent, you're protected on every side. And I'll break you apart like an insect. Especially, you've tortured my devotee, you've offended and harassed my devotee. I'll smash you apart. Because the Lord is dear to the devotee, Priya, and therefore the devotee is dear to the Lord. Aham chamam samedhyaha. The devotee is dear to the Lord. The Lord is dear to the devotee. And the demons, rascals, Krishna reciprocates with them as they deserve. Yayata mam prabhajanti. So you want to avoid me? So I'll come as death. You can avoid my Satchidananda Vigraha, but you can have my other Vigraha, Medusa Arvastra, Malkanis, Death, and Vigraha. Of course, the Hiranyakashipu was very fortunate that Krishna came as Death, but he came personally and administered death to him. And therefore, the Hiranyakashipu got liberation by the grace of the Lord. Even being killed by the Lord, one gets liberation. Then what to speak of surrendering to the Lord as a devotee? Tatarmi anugranan. Anugranan means speaking about Thee, Lord, by anu means always, and anu means by following. By following in the footsteps of the acharyas, and always describing Thee, Lord, kirtaniya sadahari, durgani, we can get free from all these miserable conditions. Durga means the prison house of material existence. So durgani, te padayugalya, hamsa sangha. By the boat of the lotus feet of the Lord, the hamsas are sailing over this ocean of material existence very easily. So Prahlad Maharaj is glorifying Lord Nrisimhadev, and we have the opportunity to read this glorification. And by thinking about Krishna, Lord Nrisimhadev, by remembering Krishna, by hearing about Krishna, then the heart becomes purified. Lord Nrisimhadev, as he smashed Hiranyakashipu, he can smash, drive away all the unwanted things in the heart. Hridyam tat stho yuvajani, bidhuno tisvirinsa. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Comments?
Sometimes people ask me, can you pray in your own words to God, or should you always follow the find psalms and read the English prayer? Can you put prayer in your own words?
Yes, your own words also. That's in Nectar Devotion, I think it's mentioned, there are different 64 items. So one is to recite prayers spoken by previous devotees. But then one may also offer one's own prayers. Yes? Follow. We should follow in the footsteps of the devotees, as the devotees are praying to the Lord. So we should follow them. But, yes, just like we're writing articles for Back to Godhead, or, for example. So we're writing something. So who are we to write anything when all the great acharyas have written so many articles and books and poems and songs? So how are we writing anything? But we try to assimilate what they've written, what they've said, and then express the same thing in our own words. And then it has value, then it has authority, because we're following by that process. Well, we can express our heart to Krishna, pray to Krishna, having assimilated the prayers and the attitude of the charges. Yes?
In the whole retreat, especially following all that process, and by the time of death, you can go home, that the Krishna is duty for one again, just for the purpose. See, it's possible. Krishna said, okay, but can I come back with you? I want you to do something. This 10,000 years.
Yes, if Krishna wants you to come back, of course, then you're liberated anyway. A devotee, he may come or he may go, but he's liberated. Whether he's in this material world, or he goes to hell, or he goes to Vaikuntha, he's a liberated soul. He's a liberated soul. He's already back to Godhead.
And
that were followers of the devil?
Do you still see the
Are they better than? Oh, I see. Well, here we get to the fine distinctions between the demons Yeah, even you can say maybe they're a little better. But they're, because they're not properly trained, they're misusing their spiritual instruction or spiritual advancement. We can say, if we want to be generous, that they're prakriti bhaktas, that they're on the third class of devotional enlightenment, where they only see God in themselves, and they don't see that other people are also engaged in the service of the Lord. And they're so ungenerous that without proper consideration they just say, oh, you're going to hell, you're following the devil, so on and so on. So it's a sign that they're not very, even if we say that they're devotees and therefore somewhat advanced, but third class. And this fault is there, that because they're addicted to animal killing, they're spoiling their brains. And therefore they can't appreciate, even when they meet devotees who are engaged in glorifying the Lord. Or you can take it from another angle of vision, that better to be a materialist than an offender of Vaishnavas. Better to be a materialist than an offender of Vaishnava. At least if you can just be an ordinary materialist and think that the Hare Krishnas are nice, that may place you in a better position than the so-called devotee of God who's killing animals and busy criticizing other devotees of God. So therefore becoming a devotee of God doesn't just mean that I have some faith and I pledge allegiance to a doctrine and a church, but it means that I understand something about the science of God. And one very important item is not to blaspheme the devotees. Therefore we're told to chant Hare Krishna, but we're not just told, well, chant Hare Krishna any way you like. But while chanting, avoid 10 offenses. If you want your chanting to be effective, then avoid 10 offenses. And what's the first offense? First offense is to blaspheme the devotees. So it's very destructive to devotional service. It should be very carefully avoided, that I'm so fired up about my religion that I blaspheme other devotees. That should be very, you should be very cautious about that. I'm so advanced, I'm so pure that I criticize other devotees. That can ruin everything. Yes.
So Maharaj, can you please elaborate on the Amsasanga? Amsasanga. Just have the three classes of devotees. So the instruction there is you should associate with Amsasanga and Swanga.
Yes.
So
the devotees who are addicted to criticizing other devotees, that's not what we're looking for. Those who, you know, every time they speak, they have to criticize this devotee, that devotee. But those who are specifically, what is that? Rupa Goswami says that their heart is devoid of the propensity to criticize others. That's Hansa Sangha. Not just that they, and first thing is, this is advanced, that he doesn't criticize others. If we can get through an hour without criticizing others, you know, it's a very fine hour, our finest hour. But even beyond that, if we can even conceive of it, imagine what it's like not even to think about criticizing devotees. Not even to have that, I mean, one thing is I got through the hour because every time I thought of criticizing devotees, I thought, don't do it, you're going to get in trouble, it's not good, and better check your tongue. And so you check your propensity to criticize others. But imagine not even having the propensity to criticize others. Not even having the propensity to criticize other devotees. That's Hansa Sangha. So Rupa Goswami recommends that three classes, those who are less advanced, we should help them, we should be kind to them. And those on an equal level, we should become friendly with. And those who are like this, who don't even think about criticizing devotees, Nirmatsuro Pujito, we should worship them. So naturally, we should try for the association of the advanced devotees. Or we should try to become also like that. So by association, we should try to make the whole society Hamsa Sangha, a society for Krishna consciousness. Krishna means not simply Krishna, this is Krishna, but Krishna means Krishna with Radharani, Krishna with the gopis, Krishna with the pujaris, Krishna with the book distributors, Krishna with the cooks, Krishna with all the devotees, or with all the living entities. Krishna doesn't mean Krishna alone, that's impersonal. Krishna means everyone has a relationship with Krishna. Yes?
Sometimes,
it doesn't mean you become blind. That not seeing this, that I won't criticize because I won't see what's going on. That sometimes we may also say that I don't need to know what's going on. Not my business, but I have to find out. And now it's become like an industry. You know, there are whole multi-megabytes dedicated to making sure that anything you want to know against anyone, you can point and click. You know, we used to just point at people, now we point and click. So, is that really required? It was Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, I think. He said that he didn't want to hear anything about the bad qualities of the devotees. He said all the devotees are engaged in the service of Krishna. Because even suppose I hear all the worst things about the devotee, suppose I hear all the worst things about you, but at the end of the day, apichet sudaracharo bhadite imam ananyupak, sadareva. In spite of all the terrible things that you've done, even sudaracharo, if you're completely dedicated to Krishna, then I have to think that you're a sadhu. And if you're a sadhu, then if I criticize you, it's sadhu ninda. Therefore, Krishna says, even if you're the most sinful of all sinners, if you're engaged, if you are situated in the boat of knowledge, you can cross the ocean of nations. Or a person simply by chanting Hare Krishna once, purely, can be freed from more sins than he can commit. So I have to see, ultimately, whether you're engaged in Krishna's service. If I see that you're not actually engaged in Krishna's service, you're in nonsense, that's another thing. But if I see that, well, still this person's engaged in Krishna's service, then why do I need to know everything about, you know, how you tied your shoelaces backwards this morning, or whatever it is. Therefore, that's the business of the flies. The flies are always looking for some pus to land on and suck. And the business of the honeybees is where there's some nectar. So it's not that we should be blind, but it's also not that we should be pus-sucking flies. We should be discriminating. We should have our eyes in our head. And still we should know that I have to see. Therefore, what is that Shastra chakshur? I have to see through the Shastra. And that means I have to see spiritually that, well, this person's a devotee. So I have to take that into account and be reluctant. If I simply criticize, then I may get in trouble with Krishna.
Can
and my purpose is to get in good with Krishna, then I destroy my purpose. Yes.
Sorry, I want to ask a question on this matter. Now, living in society, you see the devotees engaged in service. Some devotees, although they engage in service, so how can we live together?
You may not want to live together. You may not want to live together with devotees who are criticizing other devotees. You may want to find a different space. Okay, it's a big temple. You may want to find out that corner of the temple where people are not criticizing one another. Or it should be most of the temple, and you avoid that little corner where the criticism is going on. Or start a big kirtan. That's actually the thing. Because where there's loud kirtan, where there's loud kirtan, then even if somebody's criticizing the devotees, nobody can hear them. And even if someone has a propensity, they just get sleep, forget it, Hare Krishna. This is the cleansing process. The more there's... If we're not chanting Hare Krishna, if we're not engaged in glorifying Krishna, something's got to be there. And then we fall back on our old pattern, criticize others. The purport of which is, since they're no good, I must be good. So it's indirect self-glorification. I didn't do this, I didn't do that, I would never do this. But he did it, and he did this, he did this. At the end of it, you know, when you look at who didn't do all those things, the person who's not subject to all these criticisms, well, there's only one. So it's another conceit, it's another foolishness. But all of this nonsense is, the easiest way out of it is chant Hare Krishna. Go out and preach, go out and chant, stay in the temple and chant Hare Krishna. Always be engaged in some good thing, Krishna consciousness. And if you're in the good thing, then the bad thing will get you. But if you're idle, then idle mind, devil's workshop. And you become, like they were criticizing, you become agents of the devil. Yes. No, that's bona fide. We're allowed to criticize. Although you look at Prahlad Maharaj, that he could have said, you know, would like a benediction? Yeah, how about 10,000 years in hell for my father, for all the things that he did? How about 100,000 years? Instead, please give liberation to my father. Prahlad Maharaj. So, we're not simply criticizing, we appreciate Hiranyakashipu, in one sense. The play was going on. But we know the background, that he's not simply a demon, but he's a great devotee of the Lord, one of the gatekeepers. And he's stuck as a demon by Krishna's plan. So, a person who has knowledge, he won't even criticize Hiranyakashipu. Now Hiranyakashipu, by grace of Hiranyakashipu, Krishna is glorified. Therefore, Uttamanakari, he sees everybody's engaged in Krishna, so everybody's a devotee. But on the second class platform, we have to see there's devotees, innocent, and there's the demons. And it's not simply criticism, but it's calling a spade a spade. Yes. Kamsa was raining?
Yes.
Yes.
So, can you explain something of this?
It's Krishna's arrangement. somehow these living entities were meant for being killed. So Kamsa became the agent for that. It doesn't mean that he's sinless. Kamsa is the most sinful person. But somehow or other it was also arranged that these some living entities are meant to be killed by some other sinful living entities. That's the material world. Everyone is sinful. So this sinful one is killed by that sinful one. That's how the world works. Everybody tortures everybody else. Yes. Everyone's suffering anyway. It's not that if Krishna hadn't come or Kamsa hadn't killed him, all these children would be living eternally. They're all going to die anyway. So, Krishna's arrangement. Sometimes there may be that some special thing that such and such participants in the past time, they're not actually conditioned souls, they descend from the spiritual world, or they attain liberation on account of this or that. But even minus that, if you take it that they were just innocent living entities, so-called ordinary conditioned souls, and they were killed because of Kamsa, because of Krishna's pastimes, no loss, everyone's killed everywhere anyway. But by hearing the pastimes of Krishna, so many living beings get liberation, get freedom from material existence. Is that okay? A little louder, yeah. Yeah. When? Yeah. And the demons are always doing this. They're always killing. Even now, no one's worried that Jesus Christ is going to be born. Except maybe year 2000. But anyway, no one's worried that Krishna is going to appear, that Kamsa is going to appear. And still they're killing children like anything. Killing in the womb. Killing this way, that way. So with Krishna or without Krishna personally coming, this is going on. It's not a special thing that so many, now all these horrible things are going on in the material world. It's standard fare. It's always happening. But when Krishna comes, then there's benefit. All the yes. Yes. Therefore, sometimes there's some explanation also. There may be some explanation you haven't read about by the acharyas, such and such souls. Just like the gopis. There were some gopis, they were prevented from joining the rasa dance, so they burnt up in the fire of they just went into meditation and burned themselves up. So then that's commented on because one of the acharyas, Rupa Goswami or Jiva Goswami, says, well, you know, this is the rasa dance, Krishna's most beautiful pastime, so auspicious, and, you know, ladies burning themselves up in the village that day, it's not very, it doesn't fit very nicely with this beautiful pastime, very inauspicious. So then the explanation is given, now that their consciousness, it was a change like that. Not that they physically immolated themselves. So it's described, and sometimes like that you'll find there's a description by the acharyas to, what's the word, adjust all of these apparently contradictory considerations. But I can't make one for you for all these children being killed by Kamsa. But even taking a worst case, so to speak, Krishna told Arjuna that all these people on the battlefield, they're all going to die anyway. What are you lamenting about? For the soul, there's no birth and there's no death. So what is it actually that's so terrible that's happening? Oh, they were killed. So many children are killed. They're killed anyway. Or they're not killed. For the soul, there's never killing. So simply their bodies were changed. But that's going on in everybody.
North European and American governments are trying to people will bomb in Serbia because he's, you know, he's coming. And he is telling his people in Serbia, his people are dropping bombs in the Serbians. God is on our side. So, is God on all sides or no sides? Is one side led by a demon or the other side led by a demon?
Of course, I haven't studied the case, but in general, they're all demons. In general, they're all demons.
No one's right, slightly right, slightly wrong.
Well, I don't know the other side, but as an American citizen, I certainly know my side. And it's really hard for me to believe that that fellow who just got out of bed with his secretary has suddenly become the paragon of righteousness and the avatar of the Supreme Personality of Godhead for ridding the earth of all anarthas. It's a little hard to swallow. So that's where it comes from, the American side. I don't know the other side too well, but you know, maybe they're categorically different. I'd be slow to swallow that also. The whole material world are all damn rascals. And they come up with some typical politics. Politics means somebody's got to be a demon. That's all. It's typical politics. And just somebody's got to be a demon. Therefore, the Vedic social system is that the country should be directed by Brahmins. Those who have nothing to lose, nothing to gain, who are free from four kinds of sinful activities and therefore in general free from all sinful activities. Those who are genuinely devoted to the devotional service of the Lord, those who are genuinely concerned for the welfare of all living entities, those who see no difference between insiders and outsiders. They should be the ones who give the direction to the society. And then those who have to be engaged in violent activities, which is sometimes necessary, are properly directed. Otherwise, simply power-hungry, money-grabbing, oil-exploiting, rogues, cheaters, thieves, rascals. What will they do good? Yes. How he can kill the demoniac qualities? Yes, by your thinking about him. If he can kill Hiranyakashipu, then he can also kill the desires within the heart that are like Hiranyakashipu. Especially this anger. The tendency for anger is one of the when kama krodha tatha lobhas. The three gates to hell, greed, lust, and anger. So there's one devotee, one of our god brothers. He used to get very angry, I think. Maybe he used to be angry with his wife especially and take it out on her, or whatever. He would become very angry, uncontrollably angry. And he wrote to Prabhupada that I sometimes become angry, what should I do? And Prabhupada said that you can think of Lord Nrisimhadev. Because he's absolutely angry. He's unlimitedly angry. So by thinking of Lord Nrisimhadev, we become purified of these unwanted things. Nrisimhadev means Krishna. By chanting Hare Krishna, Prabhupada said there's no difference between thinking and chanting. In one sense, our chanting is more effective form of thinking. We're not, it doesn't mean that we blot out our thoughts by chanting, but it means that in Kali Yuga to focus the mind and think systematically of anything, it requires more concentration than we may be able to bring to bear. But by chanting, you can go on thinking of Krishna, thinking of Krishna, thinking of Krishna, on and on. So chanting is the effective form of thinking. And chant Hare Krishna, chant in the name of Lord Nrisimhadev. and you'll think of Krishna, think of the tree. And because you're thinking of Krishna, Krishna's pavitra, pure, so then the heart becomes purified. Hridyantak stokh kibhatran. That Krishna is the best friend, and he's sitting within the heart, so he can purify the heart. If we try to purify it by some mechanical means, some psychological process, some this, some that, it may or may not work, mostly not. But if Krishna is there, and he's our friend, and he wants to help us, then it becomes easy. Okay? Yes, ma'am. Absolutely evil? Because Krishna, absolutely, even if you think he's absolutely evil, when he's absolutely evil, he's absolutely good. Just like he's, what's evil? Stealing other men's wives? That's evil. That's very bad. It's irreligious. It's, you know, it's terrible. But when Krishna does it, then it's absolutely good. Because he's Krishna. Because Krishna is absolute. Even when he's bad, he's good. He's stealing, and they make a temple. And Krishna is stealing. So they make a temple to Krishna, who's a thief. Then Krishna runs away to the from the battlefield, and they make another temple, Ranchorji. And Krishna, who's run away. Then they make another temple, Krishna who's dancing with wives of other people. So whatever Krishna does, it's worshipable. At our side, even when we're good, we're bad. You take some person and he's a philanthropist, he's built a hospital, he's built a this, he's built a that, he's the friend of the poor, he's this and that, and he's a damn rascal. Because he's not Krishna conscious. He's useless. Even when he's good, he's bad. And Krishna, even when he's bad, he's good. Yes. And then we'll stop because we're probably getting...
His presence in the association of Hansa
Sankara.
It's not easy. I mean, those kind of bodies are not the very way.
Yes.
So, you know, most of us are dying to associate such bodies. Should we do it?
Keep that desire. Let me find such devotees who are not criticizing others. Even it doesn't necessarily mean that he has to be the most celebrated, big name, all-star, you know, banner headline devotee. We're hearing yesterday, 2 days back, Jayananda Prabhu yesterday. So he was like, you know, not even such a well-known devotee in one sense. He was known, he's an old devotee, this, that. But even if you'd go and he wouldn't be, you know, the center of all attention and everybody, you know, Jayananda. Not a big fanfare. He was just humbly doing his service with full dedication and with full, you know, pure heart. And some people were fortunate enough to take his association and become inspired in Krishna consciousness and so on. So it's not always, you know, the big name. But we have to find where there are pure devotees. Anyway, just like that, if you go to Vrindavan, those who've gone to Vrindavan may sometimes have taken Charanamrita. And giving out Charanamrita is that one devotee, Vibhu Chaitanya. And for years, I think since the opening of the temple, every day he was cooking for Krishna Balaram. Every day. And old man, every day cooking for the deities, cooking for the deities, cooking for the deities. And finally he became arthritic, he couldn't cook for the deities anymore. So now he's in the temple and he's giving charanamrita to all the devotees. And he's so nice. Worth going to Vrindavan just to take some charanamrita for this divine. Just to see him become pure. Such a nice devotee. Okay.